Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, babies in their diapers, welcome to the Tiberius Show with your host, Tiberius Boy!
That's me, Tiberius!
Today, we're going to talk about some very awesome stuff. We have a video about scanning groceries and shooting fruit, a horror book about the Five Nights at Freddy's, and we have a totally awesome guest. Today we have the one, the only, the amazing Toby Tor! Toby is an author and woman's advocate that has an amazing origin story.
Well, I can tell you, I have been on so many podcasts, I can't even begin to count them. But I have never been on a podcast interviewed by a 12-year-old before. This is going to be exciting.
That's going to be very exciting. Yeah. Now today, we're going to start off with the video of the week, and this is going to be a checkout.
And now it's time for the video game of the week.
Today's video game is Shooty Fruity. This game is my end dreams, and it's on the Steam platform. This game is only available if you're using a VR system. This is a game where you're a cashier at a store and checking out items for the invisible customers. Oh, and some of the fruit in the store is revolting, and there are guns you have to unlock, and then you're able to shoot the adorable revolting fruit, trying to splat your cashier's desk around the store and say you made the mess.
Sounds like something maybe my grandkids might like.
So first off, I get in the game and see a logo that says Shooty Fruity. Now we're then teleported into a break room for like employees. Then on the microphone, there is someone explaining how the game works. So what's the first thing you do? Go to the locker and take your shift card on the locker, and then put it in the slot for your shift, and then pull the lower lever on your right, and then you will be inside of your shift.
It's always important to time in for your job.
That's true. And next, you're scanning the groceries like you're a robot. You know, everything's fine. You're in aisle 6. Everything's fine. And then you hear something or someone in the vents.
Ooh.
But then, guess what happens? Some fruits fall out of the vents, and they kind of have little scary faces. And then, there are guns passing by you in front of your face. So what do? You grab the gun and start shooting the fruit. But then you see a whole big wave of fruit hopping towards you.
Wow, it looks like a fruit fest.
It is. You also get juice you can use to upgrade your gun at the vending machine in the break room, you know, after your shifts. Well, how do you get juice? By shooting the fruits. Well, each level is harder than the other, and remember, you're also in VR, so this is a very tiring game. Now, shooting is not a kid's subject, but it's only shooting fruits, you know? The entire time, you still have to be checking out items for your customers to unlock the big guns. Also, if you stop checking out items on the register, you're not gonna survive.
You have to get the money for the store, I'm assuming. That's the point of the game.
So, I got my dad to play it, and he got tons of really good guns and scanned a ton of items. Like, over 1,000.
Wow.
Well, I give Shooty Fruity 20 out of 10 stars because I like shooting the little cherries in later levels that are flying at you. You get bonus points for skills in long shots.
Wow.
Over 40 years, Playhouse Central Florida has provided education, independent life skills, and job training to thousands of Central Floridians who live with blindness or any degree of vision loss. Whether it's picking out clothes in the morning or just moving around your community and serving Orange, Seminole, and Osceola counties, contact Playhouse Central Florida at 407-898-2483 or visit them online at playhousecfl.org.
The Tiberius Show would like to thank one of their dedicated sponsors, Custom Designs Orlando. These guys are on Mills Avenue and do all sorts of stuff, ranging from photo ID badges, engraved signs, custom Braille ADA signs, vinyl lettering to trophies and awards. The cool part about Custom Designs is they can ship products all over the United States. You can reach them at 407-898-0373 and tell them that
Tiberius
sent you.
And now it's time for the book of the week, Five Nights at Freddy's, The Silver Eyes. This book is written by Scott Cawthon. Let me to the back of the book. In fact, Toby, would you like to do the honors?
Of course. 10 years after the horrific murders at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza, that ripped their town apart. Charlie, whose father owned the restaurant, and her childhood friends reunite on the anniversary of the tragedy and find themselves at the old pizza place, which had been locked up and abandoned for years. They discover a way inside.
Well, this is an ARC book. It's worth one full point. It's rated for 3rd grade and 6 months. This is a great book for kids that love horror stories. If you're not sure if you're okay to read a horror book, please check with your parents.
That's a good idea. My granddaughter read a horror book and it terrified her. So I know she's not one for horror stories.
I love horror stories. Well, this is a teenager and her name is Charlie. Now, if you know the Five Nights at Freddy's game, you would know that Charlie was one of the business partner's daughter. Next, Charlie has a bad memory when she goes back, and she had a twin brother who was kidnapped when she was younger. Next, she wakes up out of fear and starts her day.
Sounds pretty horrific to me.
So she meets up with her friends, and she decides she wants her friends to see Freddy's because she knew it where it was and wanted to see how it was after being shut down for a long time. So they decide to visit the spooky diner, where they go behind a bookcase and see the animatronics are still intact, otherwise animatronics are robots. They search around and it looked good and cool. Then they left the diner and then on the next day they told their other friends and then they went to the diner with Charlie again, but this time there was a security guard named Dave and he somehow knew about the place even though the place was locked down for many years and no one knew about the secret passageway.
Wow.
What happens next? Well, it's on the next page in the book, but I want you to read the book yourself and you figure out what's happening.
That's always the best way.
Well, I give Five Nights at Freddy's The Silver Eyes 10 out of 10 stars because it was really cool that the buttons turned on the animatronics, but also what's with the security guard. I can't wait to read the second book in the series to see what happens with the security guard.
Oak Ridge Gun Range is a family-oriented shooting range that has been in business for over 30 years. They specialize in basic firearm training and offer numerous services such as consignments, gun trades, gunsmithing, and concealed weapon classes. I even got my training for gun safety at Oak Ridge Gun Range. Great customer service. And firearm safety is what they do best. So find out more at oakridgegunrange.com.
So you want to make an ad for your company, right?
Yeah, Tiberius, you want to help me?
Okay, so what's the name of the company?
PPWND.
PP what?
Professional Pressure Washing and Detailing.
So you like clean driveways?
Yeah, like that. We pressure wash commercial buildings and semi-truck and trailers.
So how would someone get a hold of you?
They can visit my site at ppwnd.com or call me at 407-900-7793.
So why just tell them to call you at 407-900-7793 or visit ppwnd.com?
Yeah, Tiberius, you got it.
Cut, that's a wrap. Just use that.
And now it's time for our interview of an interesting person. Today's guest is going to be so much fun. Today we have the one, the only, the amazing Toby Dore. Toby is an author and women's advocate that has an amazing origin story.
I feel like I'm a circus event. I've never had an introduction like that before. I love it.
No problem. So first off, how are you enjoying being on the show?
It's very entertaining, that's for sure.
Okay, so we have had a number of authors before, but my dad said that you have a very interesting origin story. Starting as a dog trainer, turned into a motivational speaker. Can you tell me how you got started as a dog trainer?
Yeah, you know, in the middle of my life, I got cancer. So many people have a moment that is a wake-up call in their life, and I realized I needed to do something that would make a difference in the world. And I had some time on my hands because I'd been laid off from my job. And so I decided to start a prison dog program where I could take dogs from animal shelters in the metropolitan area and take them into the prison and the inmates could train the dogs. We would house train them, we'd teach them basic obedience and we'd teach them some tricks. And then I could take the dogs out and put them up for adoption and people could adopt dogs that were otherwise gonna be put to sleep and they would be adopting dogs that would fit right into their family because they'd already been trained.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of dogs were you training?
Any kind of dog. We didn't have any kind of limits. I got all my dogs from animal shelters. So we had teeny little chihuahuas and we had huge bloodhounds. In fact, the prison adopted one of the bloodhounds to work as a tracking dog.
Wow.
So we had all kinds of dogs. Yeah, we had deaf dogs that handlers taught them sign language. We had blind dogs that learned how to step up on steps by voice commands. Oh. We had three-legged dogs. We had pregnant dogs. We had dogs that had been thrown off bridges and needed a lot of time to heal. We took any dog that needed us.
Wow. So somehow you fit a person into the dog crate?
Yes, I did. So, you know, I did something that was probably pretty foolish, and I decided to help one of my dog handlers escape from prison, and he hid in a dog crate, and I took him out of prison. And, you know, all of us do something at some point in our lives that's not very smart, but the thing that you need to remember is that whatever it is that you've done that was wrong, you need to own up to it and admit it. And you need to not let that be the one thing that you are, because we're all so much more than the worst thing we've ever done.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you get to be on the run?
12 days.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a little while.
So when the police caught up to you, what happened?
Well, we were in a high-speed car chase, and we actually hit a tree at 100 miles an hour. So it was pretty scary. It was extremely scary. My advice is not to run from the police. You know, if they want you to pull over, you need to pull over, because nothing good happens if you try to get away.
So now you're made famous with news stories and even a Dateline show about you. So what happened that moved your direction to being a woman advocate?
Well, I realized, you know, I ended up having to go to prison, and there's really not anything to do in prison, but I realized I could use that time to work on myself and become a stronger person and, you know, determine where I wanted to go in my life. And I could use that time to make myself a better person. And after I got out of prison, I realized that I could help other women do the very same thing. So I created a series of workbooks, which I have right here. There's three workbooks, and they're, you know, to help women rebuild their lives from whatever they have to recover from. And then I also wrote a memoir, Living with Conviction, which I have right here. And this, it actually tells the story of my journey from the moment we got arrested and had that car crash to getting out of prison and rebuilding my life and deciding I was going to put all this together and start helping other women. And then I also published a poetry book all these poems came from my prison journals that I kept when I was in prison. So I go out and I speak to women's groups. This past week, I spoke to a women's survivors group, and they're trying to rebuild their life after a traumatic brain injury. So really what I bring to them about rebuilding their life and moving forward and not letting themselves be defined by the worst thing that happened to them really gives them permission and the strength and the courage to move forward and overcome whatever's in front of them that they need to overcome.
Okay. So how do these programs make the world a better place?
Well, you know, women in prison, let's just talk about women in prison, for example, but people get out of prison. And when they get out of prison, nobody wants them to be broken people that can't fit back into society, because nobody wins if that happens. So I think that we make the world a better place when we give these women a way to come out of prison and tell their stories and become healthy, and then also reach out and help other women around them to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So what have you learned about yourself with the work that you do?
I learned that there had been some moments in my life that were, when I was a child, that were extremely traumatic, and I never let myself heal from them. And then when I was a young adult, I had some other things happen to me. I lost a baby shortly after she was born, and I never dealt with the grief. I never let myself work through those hard things. I just glossed over and said, oh, I'm done with that. You know, I can move on. But you really can't. You got to do that hard work and heal from those events. And when I was able to go back and start to heal from those events, then I became stronger and able to reach out and help other people.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to my listeners if they wanted to grow up and work as an author and a speaker?
So being an author is an amazing, amazing thing to do. You know, it's just wonderful to think that your words might live on past you. But it's a really hard job to write a book. You have to be willing to listen to editors who read the book from a different place because they're not in the story and they didn't write the story. They aren't vested in the outcome of the story. And you have to be brave enough to listen to them. And when they say you need to change the way this is, you need to make the story go in a different direction, then, you know, it's pretty hard to do because that's your baby. You know, you wrote this thing, you spent so much time in it. But when someone tells you that the reader would like it better if you did this instead, you have to be wise enough to listen to the advice and be able to change something that you thought was perfect the way it was.
So when you were a kid, what did you want to do when you grew up? Did you always want to be making differences in women's lives?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a writer. I've always wanted to be a writer, but most of all, I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I wanted to be able to help animals. And I actually achieved that through the prison dog program. You know, I wasn't really a veterinarian, but I did save the lives of 1,000 dogs in the 18 months I had the program. So,
wow.
And I ended up being a writer, too, so it worked out.
Nice. So what was the greatest challenge that most people in the speaking industry are dealing with today?
I think the biggest challenge is finding a way to make what they have to say unique, because there's so many people out there doing motivational speaking or inspirational speaking or business coach speaking. You need to find a way to make what you have to say have a little bit different twist on it. Otherwise, you just get lost in the group of people.
Mm-hmm. So what was the first job that you ever had?
The first job I ever had was working at Hardee's.
Well, was there anything you learned from that job that helped you be a bigger international speaker and author?
It certainly did, because what I learned from that job was to go to college and get an education so I could do something more than work in a fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm. So who helped motivate or inspire you the most in following your dreams?
My mother was just wonderful. My mother believed I could do anything. And, you know, even after I went to prison and other people in my family weren't very happy with me, my mother was always there and she loved me through my worst times. And so she really is the one who pulled me through.
Mm-hmm. So what message do you want to tell children all over the world about doing the work that you do?
I want to tell them to be true to themselves and to, you know, continue to move forward. And if you do something wrong, you know, step up and admit you did it wrong and take responsibility for it. Don't try to weasel out of it, because anytime we do something wrong, I think we learn a great lesson from it. And if you try to not take responsibility for your things you do wrong, then you kind of miss out on that valuable lesson that you could have had.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you could go back 10 years and tell yourself something, what would it be?
I would go back and tell myself that I can rise above this, that I'm not my worst mistake. I have so much more to offer the world.
Normally, I ask, what is the biggest mistake you ever made and how did it change you as a person? But today, I want to know if you feel that your mistakes have made you a better person.
I absolutely do. In fact, I feel blessed to have experienced my darkest days, because they really did make me who I am. And that, you know, nobody learns when everything's perfect. You learn when you have something difficult to overcome. And I think that's the best place to be sometimes. You really learn a lot from it.
Mm-hmm. So when you're not working, what do you do for fun?
Well, I'm at a stage in my life where what I do for working is something I love so much that I consider it fun. You know, I think of new books to write, new programs to do, and new organizations I can go and speak to. So I just have the most fun. But if I had to step away from my computer on my desk and do something, then what I really like to do is to spend time with my two grandkids. And, you know, I love seeing the world through their eyes. And I like being there to show them some of the things that I've learned so that they can see the world in a little different way, too.
Mm-hmm. So do you play video games? And if you do, what was your favorite one?
I do play a video game. I'm not really big into video games, but I do play a video game on my phone that's kind of a farm game where you know, you have fields and you harvest your crops and you have businesses and you have to, you know, make product and sell your product. And I find that kind of enjoyable and a good way to kind of wind down at the end of the day.
What's the name of that game?
It's Township.
Okay. I'll look
and
it
I
up.
Really like it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what is your favorite book to read that you have not written?
I love to read memoirs, which are true stories written by people. Now, the difference between a memoir and an autobiography is, you know, people write autobiographies or biographies about Abraham Lincoln, and it starts the day he was born and goes through his whole life. A memoir is just a piece of someone's story, and it's usually a monumental piece of their life that really they learn something from. And so I love to read memoirs.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, can you tell me that one story? You know, remember, this is a kid's show, but the one story, well, that you're not supposed to tell me about. Come on, you can tell me.
Well, I think it's okay to tell you about it, but the surprising thing was...
Something that I won't find on Dateline or the internet.
Everybody knew me as the dog lady. I mean, even the newspapers in the headlines, they called me the dog lady. Everybody knew I loved dogs. I mean, I had 6 dogs of my own at home. And, you know, I was taking care of hundreds of dogs inside the prison at any given time. I love dogs. I am truly a dog person. But what I didn't know and what I've since discovered is that hidden inside that dog lady was a cat woman. And today I have 1 cat and no dogs. And I just absolutely love my cat.
I love cats, too. But I do have 2 dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to have a dog someday again, too, but I'm pretty happy with my cat.
So, is there anything else you think my listeners should know about you?
You know, I was the oldest of 7 kids. I loved being the oldest. I loved being from a big family, and I loved growing up in the generation that I did, where we didn't have the internet and cell phones, and we spent all our time playing outside with the neighborhood kids, and I just loved that time.
Now, see, I'm the oldest and the youngest of 1 kid.
Oh, yes. My husband was the only child, too. And so was my dad. The reason we had 7 kids is because my dad didn't like being an only child. He wanted to have a lot of kids.
Okay. So do you have a Facebook or website for my listeners who want to follow you?
Sure. I'm on all the social media, but you can find me on my website, which is really easy. It's just tobydoor.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Toby, for being my special guest. Can you stick around for Math Corners?
I sure can.
Are you frustrated with your computer? Tired of waiting for the computer to let you get your work done? Having an IT professional available when you need him can be invaluable to your business. With a Your Computer Solutions monthly service plan, you can enjoy error-free computing and get your tasks done when you want them done. Got a virus or malware warning? Call YCS and let them remotely solve the issue for you. Computer running slow? Give YCS a call and they will remotely fix it. When? Well, right away. On average, our clients are back up and running within 10 minutes of their call. If you want your computer to run smoothly month after month, just get the Your Computer Solutions monthly service plan. Your Computer Solutions is there when you need them. Call us today at 407-826-0810.
The Tybia Show would like to thank Boggy Creek Airboat Adventures for being one of our sponsors. I got to go on an airboat and saw a real gator. I even got to go to the gem mine and mine for some gems. We ate a steak dinner at the restaurant. Even got some gator rights. If you want to have a blast with the entire family, I suggest you go to www.bcairboats.com right now. Get your tickets today. The website again is bcairboats.com.
Tiberius's favorite subject, it's Math Corners!
Well, thank you so much, Toby, for helping me with Math Corners. This week, we're going to do some more multi-step word problems. My dad is always good at finding new problems for me to solve.
That's excellent. I think math is really important.
Well, today, we're going to talk about going to a birthday party.
Wow, I love birthday parties, especially when it's mine.
Well, Sarah needs 85 cupcakes for a birthday party. She already has 9 chocolate cupcakes and 36 vanilla cupcakes. How many more cupcakes should Sarah buy?
That is one big party.
Yeah.
85. Wow.
Now, this is a real world's problem because everyone really likes cupcakes for birthday parties, and it's important that you get enough for everyone. So to solve this problem, you have to determine how many cupcakes you already has. So you have to add the 9 chocolate and the 36 vanilla and then you get 45 cupcakes total. So she already has 45 cupcakes, but she needs 85. So to feed everyone, you have to subtract the 45 from the 85, and you get 40 more cupcakes that she has to go buy. I wonder what flavor would she get. She should get them all chocolate.
Ooh, I like vanilla, but you know what? I don't think I'd buy 40 more cupcakes. I think I'd buy 41. You know why?
Why?
Because I'd have to eat one on the way to the party.
That's funny.
Yep. Maybe I'd buy 42.
So, Toby, do you ever wonder why, instead of a cake for a birthday, everyone seems to be moving to these cupcakes?
You know, I think it makes perfect sense because you don't have to buy plates and forks. You know, you just hand somebody a cupcake. They're not very messy.
Now, Toby, my teacher said that I would use math every day. Do you still use math in your work?
I absolutely do. You know, I do a lot of graphic design. And when you're doing graphic design, you have to know how big the space is that your image is going to fit into. And you have to keep it relative, you know, because if you don't put it in there right and you try to stretch it to fit, then it's all out of proportion. So you have to use math quite a lot when you're doing graphic design work, or even when you're laying out a book. You have to know how many inches you want in the margin and how much space you want to leave at the top and the bottom of the pages. So I think math is something you use no matter what kind of job you do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Toby, for your help with Math Corners.
I'm happy to do it.
And now it's time for the Heart of a Lion. As you know, we talk about the qualities of living by the Heart of a Lion, which stands for leadership, integrity, obedience, and ability. This week, we're going to talk about obedience. For me, I think obedience is being fully committed to doing what is pleasing to God. The qualities of obedience are compliance with a good attitude, respect for the laws, and you always know when someone's obedient when they follow instructions willingly and throughly. Well, as you might know, this is not my favorite virtue. Everyone in my family seems to be having an issue with the occasional swear word. Even me. I know it's wrong, but it's easy to say when I hear it from my dad to get away with it. So my dad is implementing a swear jar. This is a real jar that gets $1 every time someone swears. Anyone can catch it, and if they're caught, they have to put $1 in the jar. The money in the jar does not go to the person that catches it. Instead, it's to be used to help someone in the community, like the homeless. My dad said we will either learn to stop swearing or we will solve the homeless problem in Orlando.
That's pretty good.
Either way, good will come out of it. And I may not like the new rules, but I will follow it willingly and thoroughly because I can be obedient, right? So, Toby, did you see or use obedience at all this week?
I do use obedience every day because I made a deal with God when I was in prison, and he told me he wanted me to share my story to help other women. And so whatever door God opens, puts in front of me, I go through it. You know, I listen to him every day and follow where he leads me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should always try and be lion strong in everything we do, shouldn't we?
Yes, I agree. Lion's a great thing to follow.
And that's our show, folks. I want to thank the one, the only, the amazing Toby Dorr for being on my show. It has been so much fun talking with you today. I think we learned a lot about your story and the amazing work that you do.
I love your energy, and I love having been on your podcast.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to follow you and see where you go with the rest of your life.
Sweet. Do you mind giving your social media and website again?
Sure, it's Toby Dorr, TobyDorr.com. You can find everything there is to know about me, links to all my books, links to my social medias, all on my website, TobyDorr.com.
Sweet. Also, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at The Tiberius Show, and please be sure to visit The Tiberius Show on YouTube and subscribe. We're at like 400 subscribers, so be sure to subscribe. Also, be sure to us next week on The Tiberius Show with your host, Tiberius Boy!
The Tiberius Show is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. Executive producer, Joseph Boy. Production editor, Pierre Laguerre. Green Room manager, Danny Boy. And your program host, Tiberius Boy! Tiberius Show is copyright 2018.